Dan Celian.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy. Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celian.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. We'll get to calls. Also, if you have a question, if you're watching on Facebook, hope you are. If you are, you can put a question up there. We got to all our questions yesterday. We'll try to do the same today. So if you're watching on Facebook, put it up. If you're watching on FISM.TV or our website, financialissues.org, you're watching live there, and you want a question, you can put a question up. Again, you can go to Facebook, put that question up if you want, and we'll have that answer for you. The other thing is we are building a way on our watching live from the website that you'll be able to put a question up there. So we'll be able to do that right there, as that seems to be the bulk of our viewership. Apparently, a lot of people, as they left YouTube, as YouTube left us, went to financialissues.org and are watching the program live. So that is great. We sure do appreciate it. If you are one of them, we're glad you're there. We hope you'll tell your friends about how easy it is to watch the program. Also, somebody mentioned to us, Mike just said, hey, I'm listening on my phone map from New Smyrna Beach in Florida. And thanks, Dan, for the information. Blessed to you. That is awesome. It's not good that you're at the beach and we're in the cold. But other than that, that is great, Mike. We sure appreciate it. And Mike is listening on his phone app. So just go to your app store and download the app. It's on your whatever app store you use. You can look for Financial Issues. That app will come up, download it, and you can watch on, you can listen on your app every day, all 3 hours if you want. And we would appreciate that. That'd be great. So check that out. Again, it's on your app store, Apple, Android, whatever. It's on your app store, and you can download that. So we'd love for you to do that. And we have so many people. Every single time I do a town hall meeting, every town hall meeting seems like it gets to be more and more people that tell me, hey, I'm listening on, you know, I listen on the phone app. So we'd love for you to be counted as one of those people that are listening on the app. We sure would appreciate you downloading that. So it's a great thing for you to do. Hey, Ian, what are the consumer sentiment numbers?
So the consumer sentiment numbers just came out at about 10, and I'm pulling them up right now. Right now it is at 124.1. The previous number was 131.4, so it dropped about 7 points or so.
Well, okay. Well, that's great. All right, thanks, Ian. It's not great. The numbers aren't great, but actually, folks, the numbers still are good. I mean, the 124, anything over 110 is a good number. Anything over 100 technically is a good number. But so it's still a very good number, but that's a pretty significant drop. But it's interesting. I'm trying to get the, so when I look at the markets, yeah, okay, the market's reacting to that. So 10 o'clock when the number came out, the Dow was at 234. It's now at 198. And as I said, it's now at 198. It jumped up to 211. But when you look at the NASDAQ and the S&P, the Dow, things did pull back a little bit. So right now we've got a market trying to digest the numbers, see what that means in the grand scheme of thing. Look, we can talk about the ever-changing demographic of housing and how that has changed and impacts housing numbers. We could talk about that all day long. We could talk about the demographic of being in the workforce and how that has changed. How that some people retire. You have new people coming on. There's a different, a whole different way of looking at this from a behavioral perspective, because all of that has changed. So we look at that carefully. We see all those changes. But I tell you, I don't know that there's ever going to be a change in how important consumer sentiment is, followed by how important business sentiment is. Those two things, critically important. So we watch that, and I haven't talked about gasoline. I'll talk about it here when we come back from the break. Maybe we'll go to phones first. But anyway, when we look at gasoline and what has happened with gasoline prices, that has a lot to do with consumer sentiment. It acts as though, as some people would say, it's might as well be a tax. So we have a national average price of gasoline at $2.64. Just a week ago, it was $2.55. We're almost up 10 cents a gallon on a national average of gasoline in 1 week. So, and it will be 10 cents by the end of the day or tomorrow in all likelihood. But just a year ago, it was 262, we're 264. A month ago, though, it was at 239. So you're looking at a 20 cents increase, more than that, over a month. That's pretty significant. And that is an enormous amount of money that is coming out of the economy. For every penny, it's $10 million. There's a lot of pennies here, and that's, you know, a lot of money coming out of the economy, so it will impact. Here's Craig Hager with our ag report. Then we'll be right back. We're going to get to phones as soon as we get back off the ag report. Here's Craig.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Corn finished the session higher yesterday, helped in part by better-than-expected export inspections. The actual inspections of 39.2 million bushels was higher than the top end of the range of trade estimates. Down in South America, the first corn crop is 93% harvested, while 92% of the second crop has been planted, and that's about 6% ahead of last year's pace. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading unchanged. Yesterday saw China release some details surrounding their soybean imports for February, and it really seemed to indicate the magnitude of the African swine fever problem. For the month, they imported a total of 2.9 million metric tons from the U.S. and Brazil combined. In February of 2018, that number was 5.2 million. In addition to the export headwinds posed by the trade war with China, I see that the Brazilian currency is at a three-month low versus the dollar, while the Argentina peso is also near a record low versus the dollar. Makes it real tough for us to compete with those countries in the export market then. It should be noted that yesterday's weekly export inspections were a decent 31.5 million bushels. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading 2 cents lower. Winter wheats were stronger yesterday, while Minneapolis spring wheat futures had a hard time getting on track. Weekly export inspections were very disappointing at 2.5 million bushels. Wheat continues to struggle in the export market. We finally got competitive against Russia, but now Argentina has dropped their offers to edge us out of the market. In the overnight trade, Chicago is a penny higher, while Kansas City and Minneapolis are each 2 cents lower. Cotton futures posted a higher close, with the May futures up $1.15 to close at 77.73. In the overnight trade, they're trading unchanged. Cattle futures were lower on the heels of Friday's cattle on feed report. For the session, April live cattle were down $2.15 per hundredweight, while April feeder cattle finished the session $2.60 lower. The momentum in lean hogs seemed to have slowed, but April lean hogs still were able to close 32.5 cents higher for the day. April Class 3 milk futures had a strong start to the week. For the session, April futures were up 20 points as they closed at 15.49, and in the overnight trade, they're up an additional 6. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 9 cents lower at 2.29 even, while selects were up 9 cents to settle at 2.18.73. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $2.41 higher for the day, settling at $80.20. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. You're listening to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. We're going to get to phones. And let me go to Ashwin. He's calling us from Texas. Hi, Ashwin.
Hey, Dan. I have a question for you. I started listening to your show from past 4 or 5 days. I don't even know that it was existing, but I'm so happy to listen to that now. I get a lot of answers when I listen to your show.
Good.
But, I'm so excited. I've told my 10 friends already. So, anyways, my question here was, I started trading with very low knowledge, and then unfortunately I got into huge losses last couple of years from last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then now I don't want to trade anymore, but with the amount of with the cash I have, I just want to decide on some things, either on the mortgage side, or I want to go spend on the I already have 380k of mortgage, which I started last year. I bought a home last year. Mm-hmm. So with the cash I have in hand, I just want to decide whether to pay off mortgage, not pay off, but pay my mortgage principal or use it for some purpose, which right now I'm paying around 4.5% of interest rate. So I'm not sure if it's a good thought to pay my mortgage amount, principal amount, or use it in a wiser way to get more benefits.
Yeah.
Because from last year taxes, with a standard deduction of 24K, even if I pay towards the interest of the mortgage, it's not gaining anything. Like, so I'm in the confusion, like, what's the best thing to do with the cash I have now?
So, I mean, now do you have anything at, what do you have for your retirement? Is there something at work that you have or anything like that?
I don't have any retirement benefits I used to have until last 4 years back when I was an employee of some company. But now, starting this year, I want to start my 401k and try to, like, my employer matches around 3%.
Okay.
So I want to go for that minimal and then possibly put more as a long term.
Okay. So are you, how many more years are you going to be working, Ashwin? How old are you?
I'm 34 now.
Okay. So
maybe.
I mean, I think that you want to try to, I mean, definitely work towards getting that 3%. In. I think that's important because you've got to get that free money. Because remember, I know you're a little skittish about investing, but at the same time, you just made 100% on your money. So you put 3% in, you get three, you just made 100% on your money, and you don't want to let that, you know, go. You want to make sure you take advantage of that. So that's number one. I would definitely pay something towards your mortgage, but I don't know that I would pay a huge amount. I think that if you can go by over the next several years and you get, say, two mortgage payments more than you're paying towards principal. So let's say your mortgage payment is $1,000 and you pay over the course of a year, you know, $2,000, you know, more towards principal, you'll probably have your mortgage paid off in about 16, 17 years. So it's going to dramatically reduce the time that you'll have left on your mortgage. So you ought to do that for sure. But if your mortgage is not burdensome, if it, you know, it's not really hard for you to pay, then I would rather you maintain some of that cash that you have And I know that you don't necessarily want to, but I'd rather see you because you're young, Ashwin. And if you can get some of that money, maybe start a Roth IRA account that is aside from the 401k that you're already doing. So when you get to a place where you're doing the 3% in your 401k, but you think you can do more than 3%, don't do it at your 401k. Do the additional that's not being matched, do that in your Roth IRA account. The reason I say that is your Roth IRA account's going to have a lot more options for you to choose from than what you have at work. And if you take even a conservative place, like you shouldn't have had losses last year or the last 2 years. They were two of the best 2 years in the market. I mean, so the fact that you had losses, I don't have to ask you what you had it in, but I do know this, you didn't have it in good, solid, mainstream things. Stocks, I'm talking about it, good, solid individual stocks. You had some things that were probably, you know, very, very risky, very aggressive kinds of things. And that's why you took that loss. But you should have a system that you're following, but mostly have good, solid companies. You don't have to take a lot of risk to make money. You've got to be thinking long term. This is something that you're going to do on a regular basis, every payday, every month. You're going to put a little money in. You're going to buy some stocks here and some stocks there as time goes on. And I am telling you, as young as you are, if you do that with good, solid companies, I don't care the years that it's going to go down some years. There's no doubt about it. But the question is, can you stay strong and not get out during those bad times? And at your age, look at those downturns as this is wonderful. I'm so glad I'm down because now I get to buy things on sale. So I get to buy them cheap because I'm still contributing every month. I'm putting or every payday, I'm putting a little money in and I get to get them cheap. That's really going to help me as I, you know, get into retirement. So your goal right now is not to amass a fortune, this lot of money. Your goal as a young person that's saving for retirement is to accumulate shares. So stay more focused on the accumulation of shares. Now, I'm assuming you're going to have good, solid things that you're buying and accumulate shares because it's the accumulation of those shares in the downturns that is going to serve you really well when you retire because they are going to come back and they'll come back strong and you'll be okay in the long run. But you've got to stick to it and stay put, but have good, solid things.
Okay. Thank you so much for the answer. But a quick thing on the same lines.
Yes.
You said Roth IRA and 401k. I really like to match 401k and probably go with Roth IRA. I'm going to investigate more on that. But do you think it benefits? I also got your mortgage point to pay off double the, like twice the thing that I'm doing now.
Yes.
But do you think that is more advantageous? Like that will, if I put in stocks or something long-term, that will be more advantageous than 4.5% of interest rate that I'm paying on the mortgage right now.
Yeah, I think it will be more advantage to you in the long run. I really do. I think it would be, now, you know, here's why it's not a huge advantage. Because if you get your mortgage paid off in 5 years, say, by putting a lot more towards it, then that means you've got a lot more free cash flow to put into savings and to put in your IRAs and other investment accounts. You'll have a lot more. So you'll probably, because you're young, catch up. In other words, amounts of money that you didn't put in investments, now you will make up for when you're putting a lot more in, you know, in 5, 6, 8 years after the mortgage is paid off. So there, I'm not going to say it's a huge advantage to you, but I wouldn't want you to lose out, to miss out on the time. Because one of the most important aspects of investing is time. Time is more important than anything. So you don't, so obviously at 35, you've got more time than you do at 45. And that's where the real advantage is to you. Because that money that you invest between 35 and 45, that extra 10 years is going to have a dramatic impact on the future of the account moving forward. So I don't want you to not do anything during this time. And you wouldn't be. You're still doing your 3% in your 401k, and that's good. But I'd like you to take advantage of the time that you have too.
Okay, perfect. Do you suggest any mutual funds or something that I can keep my money there? Also, like some of them to, just to segregate, diversify the money. I know 401k, Roth IRA, and you said mortgage payments twice. But in any case, if I have to put additional, is it suggestible to put in S&P or some kind of market, or is it on stocks or on mutual funds? Which one would be the beneficial?
It could be either way. I think it would be more beneficial for you to build your own mutual fund. And what I mean by that is, you know what a mutual fund is, right? It's a small percentage in a lot of different stocks. And I'd rather you do a small percentage in a lot of different sectors and a lot of different stocks on your own and grow that. And basically you have your own mutual fund. The difference is you can manage it. So if you have a stock in your mutual fund that you look at and you say, you know, this stock's been a dog for, you know, I don't know how long, 3-4 years, it's just not going anywhere. I'm going to sell it and put that money into something that's a little more promising. It gives you that advantage. Or you've got a stock that's up 60%. You can sell that one stock, capture the profit, and reinvest in something that might be down 10%. So it in overall, it benefits your entire portfolio, your entire mutual fund that you've built. And I think that's more advantageous for you because you're young. I don't have a problem with mutual funds. As you know, if you've heard me a little bit, maybe, you know, I like to be biblically responsible. I like to be morally responsible in mutual funds. So I don't want mutual funds that are investing in abortion and pornography and those kinds of things. So, but I have a group of mutual funds called Timothy Plan that are great funds. They're biblically responsible. And you can do that just to keep things simple. I got to run. Thank you, Ashwin. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, now's a good time to do it. We've got a line open. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Andrew calling us from Ohio. Hey, Andrew. Good.
Been a member for a year.
Oh, wow.
And I appreciate everything you've done.
Thank you.
In Columbus, Ohio, everywhere I drive, I'm a real estate appraiser, and everywhere I drive, there's like thousands of apartment units being built.
Yes, here too. Yep.
And I'm just, I wonder if your calculations as to residential sales includes apartments, or is that a commercial thing?
No, no. As I mentioned the when I gave the numbers out this morning, I was talking about that single family homes were actually negative. And multifamily, including apartments, was what was driving the number for what it's worth. It wasn't that great, but it was what was driving the number was multifamily housing. And we had the same exact situation right here. And I guarantee you there's going to be a vacancy crisis in the next, you know, probably about 3 years from now. Yeah.
The thing is that they're building them with tax abatements And I believe you're correct on your calculation that, like in downtown Columbus, the condos that they built were all tax abated, and those 10 years are coming up, and who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah,
but,
good point.
I will tell you this. As a single-family appraiser, I've been busy.
Have you? That's good. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. You know, I mean, you're in Columbus. They have. It's a very, you know, still a pretty strong growing area, Collegetown. I'm sure that helps. But everybody I talk to that is in single-family housing, builders, remodelers, contractors that are kitchen contractors, so on and so forth, they're all busier than they know what to do with. I mean, they just can't even, they can't even handle how busy they are. So I don't know. I mean, I know this
to,
is based on
somebody. I tried to find somebody to do our shower and I can't get anybody.
I know.
Here.
Yeah. That's a way. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. So
myself, you know, cause I know what my wife will say, you messed up.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, you know, the thing is we're watching government numbers and, you know, I don't want to sound cynical and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theory guy, but nonetheless, we've got a situation where, you know, the mantra of the day, of the times that we live in, is to be negative, you know, with numbers, you know, and we see so much of this mainstream media driving so much. And I don't want to think about that could be a possibility. But nonetheless, you know, negativity is what it's all about, with the assumption of the more negative we are, it eventually will trick into the mentality of the buying public and the consumers. And some of that has already started to happen. Yep.
Well, I just want to add, when I went to college in 67, and my roommate was from Pittsburgh, and you remind me so much of him.
Yeah, well, you know what? I have a, now I'm from the East. I'm from the East. I'm from the Philadelphia area.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, no, it's okay. But, you know, I get that all the time. I get, you know, people are, I think attitude-wise, we're very similar. But they say some words that sound a little different
than us. He's a Democrat.
Yeah.
And he won't talk to me anymore.
Oh, right. But, well, that makes
anyways,
sense.
I just want to say God bless President Trump.
Amen, brother. Thank you for that. I sure appreciate it. God bless. We'll see you. Good stuff. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Ken. Ken's calling us from Indiana. Hey, Ken.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Dan.
Sure.
Hey, I'm 68 years old. I plan on working about another year.
Okay.
Of course, I am participating in the 401k. I got about $58,000 in that. But between me and my wife, we have a little over $100,000 in mutual funds.
Okay.
And they don't seem to be doing as well as I thought. But anyway, it seemed like the last couple months of last year, they kind of lost money. But anyway, I was kind of wondering, it seemed like the fees are a little bit excessive, but maybe they're in line. But I have about $52,000 in my portion of my mutual fund, $52,000. And seemed like about every 3 months, that runs about $250 for those 3 months. Is that pretty much in line?
Well, is it from the mutual fund or from the advisor?
Well, it's from the mutual fund. It's actually under Royal Alliance. And the way that's broken down, it's about 40% in bonds and about 55% in stocks and around 5 or 6% in cash. And in my part, most of those mutual funds are in, like, under Pershing and PIMCO and Franklin and Vanguard. And, you know, they're diversified pretty well, but it seems like on my part, there's quite a few of them under what they call iShares, I guess, and that's kind of electronic funding or electronic transferring. And they transfer quite a few of those stocks on and off.
Yeah.
And I would imagine, isn't there a fee connected with that whenever they do that?
Well, iShares means institutional shares. And,
oh, okay.
And iShares are less expensive. They don't have any fees. Oh. So you know, internal fees in the funds. So as I suspected when you mentioned it, all the fees you are getting is from the firm. They're not from the mutual fund. Now, they may blame it on the mutual funds, but they're not the mutual funds. So you're not getting, it's not, you know, you're not getting feed from the mutual fund. So in other words, if you owned the exact same funds and they were iShares, which you couldn't do because you don't have enough money, but if you did, you wouldn't be paying any fees. So it's
my financial advisor, I guess, he says it's coming from the brokerage firm.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's where it's coming from. So you know, if you want to eliminate that or cut back on that, then you've just got to change your strategy and who's doing it. So, but that sounds based on I'm just you know thinking about $50,000. Based on $50,000, that sounds like a fair amount every quarter. And I would say it sounds excessive.
You say it does sound excessive?
Yes.
That's what I thought, because last year between me and my wife for the year, we paid out like $1,800 for around $100,000.
Yeah. So I would say that you probably need to, you know, take a look at that. But look, having said that, if you haven't done that well in the portfolio, it's not because of the fees. It's probably because of the funds that you're in. So the only thing that matters, and I'm not saying you don't want to pay more fees, but you can't always, you know, it's not always a question of fees. When we look at last year and the year before, last year was very, very volatile. That was not good for any mutual funds, all that volatility. But in the last 2 years, things were pretty good and they should have been up a little bit. But at the same time, it's generally a function of what you have. Like I hear people call me say, you know, Dan, my mutual funds haven't done anything. And, you know, when you get deep into it, you realize, well, they're all sitting in bond funds. They're not designed to go anywhere. They're not designed to go up when the market goes up. That's not what they're designed to do. So oftentimes it's more of a strategy issue than it is the funds. I wouldn't get out of mutual funds. I don't think it's a good idea to just jump out of your mutual funds because you don't think they're doing good. If you've been in them a while and they're down a little bit, I think you got to wait it out. But you shouldn't be paying more than, you know, 1.5%. You know, percent. I mean, I would say 1.5% is probably pretty average. It's close to what you're paying, but you know, that's pretty typical. But that's probably not what's keeping your fund down. You know, that's probably not what's keeping it down.
I don't mind paying a little bit if it was making more than what we were paying out. Sometimes it does, but sometimes he might, there were some times that we were actually losing money.
Yeah. Well, that is typical of being in the markets.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have months that it loses. The goal is that you have more winning years than losing years, and you usually do if you stay. You will. I feel confident of that, but you know, they're not funds that I track, any of those funds you mentioned, because they're not biblically responsible, but the same principle holds true. You know, 2 years is really a difficult thing to try to measure the value of being in mutual funds over a 2 year period. I mean, you really got to wait it out, but you should look to see what you're in, and maybe they took a more preservation of principal mindset, and that's why they haven't been moving much. I got to run, Ken. Thank you. I sure appreciate it. God bless. 844-707-5533.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. If you want to give us a call, you're welcome to do it, 844-707-5533. We've got another hour and 10 minutes left, so plenty of time to get your call answered. I remind you about Facebook that you can watch there. You can put your question up there. Even if you're not watching there, we'll get to those as well. Also want to say, you know, yesterday in the first hour, I said something about we still had four slots before that first hour was over for retired military police officers and such. That was filled. So that is no more. If you want to call and get on a waiting list, somebody's likely to drop. You can do that. I hope nobody drops, but that could happen. And we could maybe do that. So if you call, if you think you want to come, you know, call us today and give us your name. And we'll get you on a call list. Interesting, I had a couple of people say, well, we've already registered, but, you know, we want our money back because we're retired military. Well, you know, it kind of doesn't work that way. If, you know, we're trying to help some people that might not be able to afford to come and give that. But, you know, somebody called yesterday in the afternoon, I believe, or whenever it was. But that had already been, we had that done by 45 minutes into the first hour. So just to give you a heads up, there were a lot of other people that called yesterday that we couldn't get in. We took their name, but there's a lot of people that couldn't get in. So anyway, just give you a heads up. We're looking forward to our retreat. Starts Sunday night, and we're going to have a great time in Dallas. So if you're not staying in the hotel, or if you want to stay in the hotel and you want to get on a list, I think by Thursday, maybe Friday, we'll have a cancellation list. We'll know if there's any openings. But you can call or email Pat at financialissues.org. She can do that. If you're not staying at the hotel, we still have a little bit of room. If you want to come and you're not staying at the hotel, you're staying somewhere else or you're commuting because you live in the area. You can still do that, but you got to go to the website and register. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Tracy. Tracy calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Tracy.
Thanks for taking my call, Dan.
Sure.
I have a question. My husband and I are in our mid-50s, and he maxes out his 401k every year. But this year, 2019, we're going to be in a 32% tax bracket because he left a job. We had a severance. So it's kind of an anomaly year. And I work as a contract employee, so I always take the SEP IRA. But I was told something about self-funding a 401k. And that way I might could put all of my income in. I generally do about $25,000 a year that I can clear. What can you tell me about that?
Well, you're still going to have limitations on the 401k. And I'm not sure that the limitations on the 401k are going to be much different than they are in the SEP.
Now,
you can check that out, but I would call, who's your SEP with? Is it with a broker of some sort?
TD Ameritrade.
Yeah. So I would call TD Ameritrade and ask them for the numbers. In other words, they'll say they have enough of your information. They'll know what the numbers are. So they will say, yeah, you can do X amount of money in a SEP if you do a self-directed or a self-contained 401k. You can put, you know, X amount of dollars in. I think it's going to be very close to the same when you subtract the tax filings and the things that you have to do for the 401k mm-hmm. that you don't have to do for the SEP. So,
okay.
But I would call and ask them. It's, you know, the tax laws have changed in and around all that. I'm not up on it as I should be. So I would call them and ask them, and they should be able to give you the number to the penny.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. I just looking to shelter all that we could this
year,
absolutely. Especially.
Yeah.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Is it so? Like I mentioned, my husband had changed jobs, so we have a 401k we want to roll into an IRA, and it's about $700,000, and I've never had that much at one time, you know, to diversify with. It kind of makes me a little overwhelmed. So my investment account just kind of built slowly, following your allocation model. But when I have that much all at once, what do you suggest I do?
I would do the same thing that you did with your investment account. I would do it slowly. So I'd move it over to an IRA, a TD Ameritrade, since that's your platform you're familiar with. And, you know, it's going to come over, but I would not, especially in this environment that we're in, I wouldn't feel any sense of urgency. So the one thing you can do is take blocks of that, and you can say, you know what, I'm going to take $50,000. I'm going to take positions with that $50,000. I'm going to take positions in, you know, all the sectors. So I'm going to put, you know, $5,000 here, $5,000 there, so on and so forth. And I'm going to take positions in the sectors, and I'm going to begin slowly to diversify the portfolio. And that's how I would start. I wouldn't even be in a hurry to get all $50,000 immediately, but that's what I would start with and then move on to the next block of money, $50,000. A couple things. One, it's going to give you a little bit more comfort level. Remember that when you think of percentages, you're thinking about the whole 700, not just the 50. So you should end up at some point in time with five or, you know, four, five, six even, at the high end, four at the low end, positions in every classification and every sector. And, maintain that cash position as indicated on the allocation model. So that to be announced, that should be cash too, but likely will be by the time that changes, and you'll be able to get it all filled. So I would just just take your time. Remember, you're dealing in percentages, not money, so don't get too overwhelmed by how much money it is, but you do have to think a little bit more about increasing the amount of positions that you have in each sector. And that's going to take you longer to do. Just by the nature of that, it's going to keep you kind of slowed down, because there are going to be sectors that might only have two positions on the buy list. There might be a couple that don't have any. All of that is just sitting in cash until something shows up on the list. The other thing that I would say to you is I would commit maybe a small percentage in each sector. I would be okay. Small percentage of each. So we're going to say, 2% of each sector, to using the small cap and micro cap, but not any more than that. Small cap, micro cap, not any more than that. You know, I'd want the majority of it in mid cap and large cap. So again, by nature of that strategy, you're going to have to move slow, which is a very good thing. So I think you'll be fine. It's you've been doing this for a little bit, it sounds like, so you have some grasp of, how it all works. So just take your time and peck away at it slowly.
Okay. Now, if we were limited in our mutual funds, to what was within the 401k, and there none of them are biblically responsible. So if I was going to move out of those and into something in the temporary before I actually do my purchases, as you're saying, slowly, is there something that you could recommend just for that intermediate time, or should I just leave
no,
it in the
no.
funds?
Yeah, I wouldn't even try to do anything intermediate. That would probably come back to haunt you. I would tell you this. I would, any mutual fund that you have that is positive, which I suspect a lot of them are because you contribute every payday. So anything that's positive, I would sell immediately. And even anything that's close, you want to think about converting that, divesting of some of that. It doesn't have to be done right away. But if it's up, I would do it sooner rather than later. The other thing that you want to check, Tracy, because this is important, that it may cost you money to sell out of the mutual fund before you transfer it. It may cost you more than it's going to cost you a TD Ameritrade. So if that is the case, you want to move everything in kind to TD Ameritrade and do any selling you're going to do there at TD Ameritrade. It may save you some money.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. I wish you all the best. That's great. And look, it's great that your heart is that you want to be biblically responsible for all of this money, and God knows your heart. But don't race to do it. Still, mm-hmm. You know, take your time and do it gradually.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the confidence.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. I appreciate your partnership. God bless. 844-707-5533. As we come to the end of this hour, folks, we've got another hour left. Our lines are open, 844-707-5533. I am going to ask you, I'm going to make a little call to action here. If you have prayed, thought, or you are in the process of praying about being a partner, just talking to Tracy, it just made me think that, you know, there's probably not a better time from an economic perspective and market perspective in what is going on in the world and in our economy to partner with the ministry. And this would be a good time to do it. We have a lot of things that we are changing, building, and growing into our partnership side. And I want you to be able to participate in all of those things. But I particularly want you to participate in any alerts that we send out and in conference calls that we have coming up. Remember, all that you have is His. Be a good and faithful steward. We'll be back.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.